And if there are guests in our midst, a special and a hearty welcome to you as well. I want to greet you with the words which we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 2 to 5, where we read, "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ." What a loving and gracious Father we have, who continues to watch over us, who keeps us, who takes care of us. He asks us to surrender self, and then he takes care of us. And when we read in the second and the third verse there, where it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, Father of mercies and of grace." And truly in my life, it is very real that his mercy and his grace is there. And that he also, as it says in verse 4, he comforts us. When we can't see through situations, he carries us. And that is truly wonderful to know that he is there for his children to carry them through whatever it is that they are going through. It is my wish and my prayer that we have all come with a heart prepared to receive what it is that he wants to speak to us, either through the words that are sung or the words that will be shared according to his word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day that you have given us. Father, we thank you for this country and the many freedoms that we have and the joy that we can have in you. Even though there's turmoil all around us, we can still go forward in joy, knowing that you know all things and that you will carry your children through. If we can only surrender self, allow self to go away and allow you to lead and guide us. Lord, we pray for our government this morning. Pray that you would be in their midst and that they would also realize that and heed to that calling. Father, we pray for the church that it also might stand strong in you, that we wouldn't deviate from your word, but that we would go forward in truth, knowing that when you come back and the books will be opened, that the truth will be revealed and that we will be rewarded according to the things that we have done while we were here in this world. And it says either good or bad. Lord, this morning I pray that as you speak to us, that we wouldn't harden our hearts. Should it be admonishment, that we would adhere to that. And if it is encouragement, that we would go forward with joy and tell other people what you continue to do for us. And we thank you for that. Lord, I also pray for myself as you give me the words to speak, that I would speak each word boldly. We pray this in your precious name, Jesus. Amen. I'll have some songs at this time.
247 in your blue hymn book. "He hideth my soul." 247. For those are able that stand for the singing.
My Lord, a wonderful Savior. shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. And numberless blessings each moment he grants, and filled with his fullness divine. I sing in my rapture, O glory to God, for such a redeemer as mine. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows the dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. And clothed in his brightness, transported I rise to meet him in clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I'll shout with the millions on high. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows the dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there.
Footprints of Jesus, 505. Number 505.
Lord, and we heard thee calling, come, follow.
307, come to the Savior. 307.
Thank you for those songs. I've taken my text words out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, where we read, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." And as we just sang of how God is coming back, are we prepared to meet him? Are we prepared to go to that heavenly home? Do we know the road that we're walking, that it leads to eternity? How well do we know ourselves? I titled my message this morning, "How Are We Clothed in Christ?" The walk that we walk, the things that we do, are they edifying to God? Can the people around us see that we truly find it a joy to serve God? I'm not sure if I mentioned this here before already or not, but there was a sign in Steinbeck. It says, "When I see the first jogger smile, I will consider running." When people watch us, when we live our life, when we go out and do our business or whatever it is, we go shopping, and people see us, is there something in us that attracts them to us? And not to us, but to Christ who dwells within us. God has prepared a house for us in heaven. And if we believe, we will not find it a burden to serve him. It'll actually be a joy to go out and to serve him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, but having renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. So when we look at that verse, and we could talk on this verse for a long time, and it starts off having renounced, having taken care of sin that is within us, that we know that we're truly free, we are set free. And it goes on, the hidden things of dishonesty. So he mentioned some things here, but we know that we could apply many, many more things to that. Just talks about dishonesty, not being honest. Not walking our talk. We say things, and yet we don't do it. We believe that God has given us an instruction book, but we don't follow it. Because some of those things, I really don't think they apply to me. Renouncing the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Misinterpreting the word of God. But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience, giving ourselves over to God, allowing him to work through us. And then in verse 3, it goes on and it says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Can we see the importance of living a life for Christ according to his word? Not living a deceitful life where the people are watching us and they're seeing one thing. We're saying one thing, but they're seeing something else. It says then the gospel is hid from them. We are a stumbling block to the world around us. We know heaven is real. I think each and every one of us would testify to that, that heaven is truly real. It is there. There's no doubt. And we also know that hell is also real. And we will be rewarded according to how we have lived our life here in this world. As in my prayer when I said, when the books are opened, everything is recorded. And we know that when we have fallen short and we have repented of that sin, that will not be in that book because God then forgives us and it is taken out. And we know that Satan sometimes comes back to us and he says, well, but you fell short over here and over here and you're not worth what you say you are. You're truly not a follower of Christ. And yet if we have asked for forgiveness, if we have repented of our sins, he has forgiven us. And we know when the books will be open, we will not have to face that. But the things that we have not taken care of, those we will face. And I so many times have to think back to the Old Testament where people had to be stoned because of sin. They had to be put to death. They had to be punished. And they had to do that physically. And when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he took that away. But we will face the same punishments. If we have not made right what we know that was wrong, we will face that on Judgment Day, and punishment will come. So we need to take care of our life. And my question is, have we taken care of sin? If we have, our desire will be to live for Christ, as stated in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 2, "For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven." We groan earnestly. We will make an extra effort to live for Christ. We will leave the ways of this world behind and follow Him. We will tell our neighbors. We will let the world know in all our dealings, whatever, wherever we go, whatever we do, it should be evident in our life that Christ is truly our focus. That is who our focus is. Christ is our focus, and it is Him that we want to serve. In 1 Corinthians 8, verse 3, it says, "But if any man love God, the same is known of him." Again, it is so clear that what we do is evident of what is going on within our hearts. Whether we serve Him wholeheartedly or not. And then in chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I want to continue, and I might turn away from that, but I will probably come back to it again. So if you have a bookmark or something, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 3, it says, "If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked." Again, another way of saying that if we are truly following Christ, that'll be evident within our life. In verse 4, it says, "For we that are in this tabernacle do groan." Again, he says, we yearn to serve Christ. We serve Him wholeheartedly. We focus on Him. Our focus is Him. And then it goes on, being burdened. We work for Him. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up in life. In Isaiah chapter 29, Isaiah chapter 29, verse 22 and 23, we read, "Therefore thus saith the Lord, who redeemed Abraham, concerning the house of Jacob, Jacob shall not now be ashamed, neither shall his face be waxed pale. But when he seeth his children, the work of mine hands, in the midst of him, they shall sanctify my name and sanctify the Holy One of Jacob, and shall fear the God of Israel." Turning to the truth, sticking to the truth, we have the confidence that God will be there. We will see His work within our midst. We will see that it is not of us, it is not of this world, but that it is truly from Him. And then if we go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 5, "Now he that hath wrought us for the same self thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit." It is God's will for us that we serve Him. It is His will that He will bless us. He will keep us. He will protect us. He has paid the price when He died on the cross. He has paid for our sins. Do we want them forgiven? And we have children with us. As we grow older and we realize that maybe we've done things that we shouldn't have done, and somehow it just becomes clear to us that we need to take care of it, let's do it right away. Let's not wait. Let's not push it off. Let's not procrastinate. And that is so easily done. Ah, I'll do it tomorrow. But it needs to be taken care of today, because we don't know if we will be here tomorrow. When we look into the first part of this year and we see how many loved ones God has taken, some older, some younger, some quite young, He has taken them home to their eternal resting place. Where will our eternal resting place be? What do we strive for? In verse 6, we read, "Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord." As long as we're here, as long as we see the sunrise, as long as there's breath, we know that we're not with God yet, but we can be in Him. We can have the confidence that when He takes our last breath away, that we will be with Him. We can know that. Are we all confident that if God should take our last breath away, like this moment, that we will be with Him in heaven? Have we made things right? Are we living? Are we doing things according to His will? In verse 7, it says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Sometimes it is hard to understand. Why would God allow sickness to come to people and drag him down? Sometimes He does it for that person that is going through hard times. And yet, many times He does it for the people around us, that they're able to see how we handle things when we are struck down, when hard times hit, when it gets hard. How do we handle it? Are we truly focused on God? Do we know that it is He who has given us the health, and it is also He that allows hard times to come to us? And are we able to see past that, knowing that when life is over, that there's a better place for us? In verse 8, it says, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." When we look at Paul, at the life of Paul and how he persecuted the church, and later how he was persecuted for serving God, he knew what he was talking about when he said, "I would rather not be here." And yet he also says that it is a joy to serve God. The joy that he had received from persecuting the church, standing at Stephen's feet, holding the clothes for the people that stoned him, seeing that, he got no joy out of that. But to be persecuted for the sake of Christ, he says that's joy. That's worth living for. If Jesus hadn't done that, if he hadn't come into this world, where would we be? And we know that his walk in life wasn't easy either. And how at last, just before he was persecuted, his closest disciple left him. Peter denied him. Peter was told that he would deny him. Jesus told Peter that he would deny him. I don't think Peter believed Jesus when Jesus told him that. But later, when that rooster crowed, it became very clear. God knows all things. He knows what we're going through today, and He knows what we're going to face tomorrow. And yet He will carry us as children of God. He will carry us through. He will always provide a way. He will never give us more than we can take. But we need to do our part. We need to surrender self all the time. Not just when hard times hit. We need to surrender ourselves at all times. We need to be prepared. We need to know what His word says when we face situations in life, how we are to deal with them. And when we have that in our mind, it is then that God can bring it back out to us to help us through. when we put the GPS, when I use the GPS to drive in Winnipeg, and sometimes it doesn't take me where I want to go, then it's good if I know the city, where the roads will take me, to be able to get where I'm going, right? When we face hard times here in this world, and God has given us a roadmap, and we know what that roadmap says. And even though hard times come, we will find our way through. Because we don't depend on ourselves. We depend on His road, that it's true. And it'll take us where it has promised it will take us. It will get us through whatever it is that we face. In verse 9, we read, "Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him." Paul says it doesn't matter whether we're still here or not. What is important that we're right with Him, that we know that if He takes our last breath away, that we will be accepted into heaven, that we will be at the right hand of God with Jesus. In verse 10, we read, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." In Romans chapter 2, verse 16. "In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel." He's talking about things that we're hiding. If there are things that we are hiding, they will be opened up. By who? By Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Word, and the Word we have with us. There will be no excuse. To say I didn't know will be invalid. To come up with excuses, and I don't have to look at anyone else. So many times when I have done something I shouldn't have done, I can come up with all kinds of excuses why I did it. And yet I knew better. But maybe somebody distracted me, or whatever it is, foolishness. "In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel." We have His word. Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. Verses 7 to 13. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. He has created us in His own image. Growing up, I've often wondered about this verse. How can we be made in His own image? Because we all look different, right? I could not understand that. But when we think of it spiritually, He has given us His own spirit. And that is how we can be in His image. That's the only way we can be in His image, is surrendering self. Verse 9, it says, "For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that He might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." When we look at verse 10, many times that is thrown at a person when we go out and or when we're admonished or we go out and admonish, people say, you're judging me. Are we? And so we use that excuse, we won't go admonish people because then we're judging. But God has told us to go out and admonish people. When we see a person living in sin, and it's a brother or a sister in the Lord, it is our mandate to go talk to them. And as long as we use scripture, we're not judging. We're telling them what God requires of us and what God requires of them. And yet it comes so easy. You're judging me. Using scripture to admonish people isn't judging. And it is our mandate. And we should do that. And I should do that more than I do. And many times I also need to be admonished where I'm not admonished. And I know that. And I know people see me do things that I shouldn't do. And yet, that's what God requires of us. Why don't we do that? Why don't we do our utmost to serve Him? Do the things that He requires of us. In verse 12, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. When we put stumbling blocks before people, it is then that it talks about judging. But let's admonish, let's encourage. And in verse 14 it says, I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. I want to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 18, 19, and 20, where it says, flee fornication. Every sin that man doth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? Ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And again, he's given us an example here of fornication, and yet there are so many other things that we can do to ourselves that draw us away from God. And God doesn't want us to go there. He says, I have bought you with a price. First of all, I have created you in my own image. Jesus came into this world and he shed his blood for us. He wants us to keep ourselves, to keep our bodies pure. He wants us to serve him and him alone. Turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In verse 11, it says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God. And I trust also we are made manifest in our own conscience. In verse 12, it says, for we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you an occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. And again, he talks about our appearance. Exivia. Sometimes I think I am somebody. But truly, whatever I have is because God has given it to us. I am who I am because of what he has done in me. Then if we go to verse 17 in chapter 5, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Verse 18 says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing our trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. I want to turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6 and verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Speaking here about speaking the truth. When I look at this verse, it starts off, it says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. It is the Spirit that gives us the power, that empowers us. It is not we ourselves. And then I have to ask myself the question on the last part of that verse. Can I testify to this? The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. They are spirit and they are life. And these are Jesus' own words. He says, this is truth. Am I clothed in Christ? When I go out, is it also truth that I'm speaking? Is it truth what the people are seeing? Hebrews chapter 12, verses 12 to 14. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 12 to 14, and I'm on the wrong page here. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So here he's talking about ourselves, what we ought to do for ourselves. If we want to do ourselves a favor, and we see that we're not on the straight and narrow, get off of that road. He's talking about our hands and our knees, and they're getting weak. And then he goes on and he says, make straight paths. That if your knees are weak and you're walking, that you won't stumble and fall. When we walk through this life and we know that we're not on the straight and narrow, let's get back on the straight and narrow, that it won't draw us farther and farther away till we won't find our way back. When does this service go? Should I? Quarter after 10, right? I have a couple of more verses where I want to give the invitation in Matthew chapter 11. Verses 28 to 30, Jesus is calling out to us, each and every one of us. And not only for those that haven't accepted him yet as their personal savior, but all of us that are going through hard times, when we're going through life and there are obstacles in our life that we don't understand. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. It is a promise. When we turn to him, when we don't know what's going on, when it gets so hard, he says, when you come to me, I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And it doesn't always seem like an easy road to follow Christ. But going forward in faith, believing that God truly is who he says he is and that he will take care of us, makes life so much easier. Before I do the benediction, I want to give each and every one the opportunity to go before our Almighty Maker, just to pour out our heart to him, give it over to him, allow him to lead and guide us, to make things right for us. So for those of you who are able, let us kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, hear our prayers and be gracious unto us. For closing, I want to bless you with a benediction, which we find in Jude, verse 24 and 25. And will you unite with me? Oh, sorry, announcements.
Good morning. It's good to be back again. I was just... The churches from Mexico, they sent greetings to you all because they're so thankful for the help they have received from Manitoba here. So I have just one announcement here that I want to make is that next week, Saturday, is a fundraiser in Altona for India Mission. We will put it into the church group, the time. I believe it is 9 o'clock, but I don't have it here. But I believe it's 9 o'clock in the morning, and it's a fundraiser for the India Mission in Altona. And then also you have it on the bulletin that there's a deacon ordination for Winkler Sommerfeld Church, so that will be on April the 23rd. So please pray for them so that they may do the work of the Lord faithfully. Thank you. May God bless you.
Thanks, Jake, for getting up so I realized that I had forgotten something. So would you unite with me with a benediction out of Jude, verse 24 and 25. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and ever. Amen. And you may go in the peace of the Lord. Remember, Jesus is watching.